It was a big weekend for retailers, $23 billion worth of holiday sales, mostly at malls. It might surprise those who've never known life without the mall that it was actually invented by a visionary developer named James Rouse. In 1958, he built America's first enclosed, temperature-controlled shopping center and called it a mall. The Herondale Mall in Glen Burnie, Maryland, started a revolution in retail. Shoppers Hilda Hegner and Helen Wagner remember well Herondale Mall's glory days.
It had very nice stores in it. We always shopped at the mall. It had shoe stores, dime stores. It had Hochul's department store.
It had a pet store, music store, linens.
The lunch counter in the middle.
Lunch counter in the middle, and then the lunch room that was upstairs. I think that came when Hutzler's came.
And it drew a crowd. At Christmas time, you could hardly find a parking place.
Hated to see it go. Oh, yes.
It had good stores in it when it opened. Then it ended up with just sort of junk stores at the end.
Wally Station Mall came, and then there was Glen Burnie Mall. So that sort of took away from the Herondale Mall. It needed to be rejuvenated, and I guess instead of rejuvenating, they just went for separate stores.
The life cycle of a mall. It's a familiar story in suburbs across America. James Rouse had great hopes for shopping malls when he created them. He thought they could stop the piecemeal sprawl that was spreading after World War II. Author Josh Olson has written a new biography of James Rouse called Better Places, Better Lives. He writes that Rouse wanted a mall to be a suburban community center.
1963, Rouse opened the first mall in New Jersey called Cherry Hill. Soon after it opened, the town in which he had built it changed its name to Cherry Hill. And the mayor explained that prior to having this mall in their town, they didn't really have any identity. They didn't have any focus. Now they had a community center. Now they had a main street. Now they had Cherry Hill.
And they saw it that way.
Mm-hmm. And Cherry Hill was popular well beyond the town in which it was built. Busloads of people would come from New York to go to this mall, and you could buy postcards to send to people, letting them know that you had visited.
Hello, greetings from Cherry Hill Mall.
Exactly, yes.
I was very surprised to learn that he allowed politicking to go on in the malls and even during the Vietnam War protest.
He did, and he wasn't scared of controversy. He thought that was the point of creating this space, that people could come together. So you would have protesters of the war in Vietnam, while you'd also have a fundraising drive to support the troops.
Or Lyndon Johnson campaigners on one side and Barry Goldwater
right.
backers on the other.
Right. He was very much dedicated to this idea that it could be the Village Green for the 1950s. So he put public institutions like libraries and post offices in his malls. He also put churches in his malls. He opened up the storefronts if a church wanted to come to this new shining city of the 1950s. They were welcome to, and several did.
One of the raps that the mall has is that it was complicit in killing off Main Street, killing off downtown. That wasn't his idea.
No, that certainly wasn't his idea. In fact, at the very time that he was working on new malls like Herondale, he was writing federal urban renewal legislation. The problem in the suburbs was that there was no focus. The mall would provide that. Neither he nor any of the other early mall developers knew that that focus would take away the vitality of downtown.
And when you say writing federal urban renewal legislation, I am now thinking that urban renewal is another area where we look back and say they destroyed some of the heart of cities, these beautiful townhouses in some places. What did James Rouse have in mind?
His focus in terms of urban renewal was on the neighborhoods, and he wanted to route transportation corridors so they went around existing neighborhoods. But like much of what he pioneered, it was copied by others, and the copies were far from perfect.
By the mid-1960s, malls were sprouting up all over the landscape, but they weren't becoming the community centers that James Rouse had envisioned. Rouse became less interested in building more malls. In 1963, he went to Europe to study its cities. He was struck by the separation between urban centers and the countryside. As he traveled, he recorded his impressions on a dictaphone.
The country is truly open, unurbanized, and uncluttered by the cheap commercial junk that messes up the American countryside.
James Rouse wanted to develop an urban center without that cheap commercial sprawl in the United States. He bought thousands of acres of farmland south of Baltimore and built Columbia, Maryland. The planned city was designed so people of different incomes and races could live side by side and within walking distance of their jobs, stores, and houses of worship. James Rouse was also impressed by old world marketplaces. Biographer Josh Olson says Rouse wanted to build something similar and created what he called festival marketplaces.
He loved the vitality of the small stalls selling fresh fruit, selling meat, selling fresh flowers. He loved that sensual interaction with the goods that you no longer had in the malls, which Rouse readily admit he called them cellophane-wrapped shopping malls, even though he had invented them himself. Festival marketplaces were meant to bring back the vitality of shopping, to make it fun.
And the best known?
Faneuil Hall Marketplace in Boston was the first festival marketplace that he did, and it really set off a revolution around the country. In the 1980s, I don't think there were any cities in America that weren't either building or contemplating building one of these festival marketplaces.
Ghirardelli Square in San Francisco, same
right.
idea. Waterfronts, too many to count.
I think Rouse was surprised by the reaction of tourists to his festival marketplace. Faneuil Hall Marketplace, for instance, after it opened, attracted more people than Disneyland.
Do you think that he thought, going back to the mall, that these would last forever?
Rouse was very much about solving problems. He saw the mall as solving the problem of the suburbs. He also believed that cities were things that continually change, though. So I don't think he would have been surprised that we are now taking shopping malls and ripping off the roof. I don't think he'd be surprised that there's a return to the city movement, that many young people do not want the shopping malls or the suburbs any longer.
Joshua Olson, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Joshua Olson is the author of Better Places, Better Lives, a biography of the late James Rouse.